following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Improve fuel economy and restore power with Royal Purple Max Clean Fuel System Cleaner on sale for $9.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Clean clogged injectors, save gas, and maximize engine performance. Pick up Royal Purple Max Clean for $9.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Wendy's presents The Shusher.
Dinner and a movie is great, but the library?
Yeah, we could check out movies here for free.
Nice. Oh, sorry. Hey, let's hit Wendy's for a great deal on dinner, too, and check out some junior bacon cheeseburgers.
Nice. I'm getting me some bacon.
Get more delicious for your dollar at Wendy's with favorites like the junior bacon cheeseburger on our right price, right size menu.
Now that's better.
Prices and participation.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday, the final few days of April. Doesn't seem like that out there. And of course, if it's the Central Nebraska Track Championships in Grand Island, then that means most of the time there's going to be some inclement weather. But we'll talk with David Gee, the track coach at Grand Island Northwest. We've also got Jeremy Jensen, Islander soccer coach, scheduled for this hour as well. They're hot right now, winning 7 of their last 8 with the only loss, 1-0 to number 1 Creighton Prep. We'll recap everything that's going on in the world of sports. Baseball and softball brackets are out in the MIAA, the GPAC baseball out, softball, they still got one more game to go. Huskers 2-3 over the weekend. The Danger, NBA, NHL, the Bosselman, Gus Fahner on Saturday, and just a lot of stuff to look at. And for the most part on this show, we'll at least give you an hour reprieve from talking about the Los Angeles Clippers and their owner. Is that okay, Jimmy? Is that okay?
We're not going to talk about that, correct?
Yes. Unless the listeners really want to get into this, no doubt about it.
If the listeners want to call in and talk about it and want to know what you and I feel about it, we'll talk about it a little bit. But I think we'll let the major networks take care of that.
Yeah, idiot, move on. That's just the way we go. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. What caught your eye over the weekend?
Nothing. Not one thing caught my eye.
You slept?
No, I did not. I did do that. Hey, I'll tell you what, the NBA, these games are close, continue to be close and very competitive and lots of upsets and just that no one's really taking control. I mean, it's every game there's a great game and you know, the other day, I think San Antonio had the game won, and this guy comes up and goes into the corner and hits a shot. And I think, man, that's amazing. And then I find out he hits like 47% of those. Did you see it?
Well, there's no doubt about it that there are many more series that aren't being sweeps. The funny thing is, Jimmy, is that everybody's trying to find a way for Miami to go out, and they're the only ones that are taking care of business right now.
They are.
They're
the only one. Only one that's completely have complete domination.
Yeah, not very many people had Portland. Washington is a game away from taking care of the Chicago Bulls. And then tonight, some great action going on with Atlanta up against Indiana, who, you know, just quit, Indiana. Get out of the way. You don't want to be here. Get out of the way. And then the Dallas-San Antonio game as well. Some good games in hockey. A lot of overtime games in the NHL, this playoff series, which is documented as well. Taylor Fish coming through Saturday for the Big Red again. He played well, not always offensively, not always defensively, but the starting catcher for the Huskers had the game-winning RBI Saturday.
Yeah, he's really had some big timely hits this year. You know, I mean, all season long. And it has played well. They lost the last game to Michigan. Is that right, Doug? Mm-hmm. Did they lose the last? Yeah. But he played well. And the Kansas City Royals had won 2 out of 3 against Baltimore. And one guy had like 6 RBIs, right?
Yeah, Infante yesterday.
Had six.
The first 6 of the game, yeah. And then you got a good young pitcher in Ventura. But the over-under on how many more seasons, innings he pitches before Tommy John surgery. I mean, this guy just, you can just watch him and it just kind of freaks you out, his arm motion and the way he throws. So what they say, there's already been 15 of those this year. Those are starting to become as common as a lot of ACL or whatever you want to call it. Pick an injury. It's no big deal anymore. Even Tommy John doesn't know what's going on with all these Tommy John surgeries.
And I think a lot of it has to do with You know, that there's just a little bit of difference. They're throwing the slider a little bit and just a little bit of difference, you know, on every time they throw their arm, how they're not throwing exactly the same, you know. It appears it is, but, I mean, just a little bit of an angle, and it seems to be a problem, yeah, that they're a lot of pitchers are really struggling in something where when people just threw fastball.
Yeah, trying to hit this.
Yeah.
The Nebraska softball team also red hot. They've won 10 in a row. Baseball and softball both setting second place in the conference for the softball team. This will be their final week of the regular season. And for the baseball team, they have 2 games at UNO and Creighton. Creighton Tuesday, UNO Wednesday, weather permitting. And then Penn State rolls in for every series key, as we talked with Coach Erstad last week. But you know, 2 or 3 out of Michigan, I think we'll take that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That would have been nice to get the sweep, but got to take that, don't you?
Hey, anytime you're – any series, really, if you can go – you know, you go 2-1 in the Big Ten, these schools can play. I mean, you can look at the records. Hey, this team's 6-24, and this team's 24-6. But the goal is to take 2 out of 3.
And so Nebraska did that. Coach Erstad kind of saying they needed to go 11-3 down the stretch, so now they need to go 9-2. I think that's definitely doable for the Big Red. They fell 7-5 yesterday, but won 6-4 and 3-1 over the weekend. UNK baseball, I thought, kind of did what they were supposed to do, but so did everybody else in the MIAA. So the Lopers actually even lost ground going 3-1 this weekend. They were 5th going into the weekend. Then they played Thursday when everybody else started Friday. They won, so they moved to 4th. But when they split their doubleheader on Saturday, they fell to 6th. They won or Friday, and then they won on Saturday. So they will be traveling to Central Oklahoma, a team they didn't play this year. And there you go. They lost 3-4 to the league champ Central Missouri this week. So Central Missouri 1, Emporia State 2, Central Oklahoma 3. It's going to be a tough one. Single 9-inning games Thursday and Friday. And then if they split those, they'll play again on Saturday. But whoever wins is kind of like a regional or even a super regional, I guess, if you will, then would advance on to the MIAA semifinals.
Doug, do you know what Central Oklahoma's record is overall?
Yes, Central Oklahoma is 34-14. The Lopers are 30-17.
Right.
And 30-17 and 6th in the conference. It still just blows my mind.
Yeah, that is. And they're 34-14. I think Central Oklahoma, not too long ago, weren't they like 29-9 or something like that? Or
well, they did lose 3 of 4 this week.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, they went 1-3. So yeah, I was looking at those. Yeah, the great, good. That's right, Doug. That would have answered a lot of their losses right there.
They played the best team this weekend. So there you go. The Loper softball team dropped a couple at Hayes Saturday. Then they came home yesterday. They got the first game in and beat Fort Hays State 8-2. Bailey Backus, a complete game 6-hitter, and Junior Mallory Noakes knocked in 3 runs, and then the second game got rained out, so their season has come to an end. Hastings College Baseball will be the 6th seed in the GPAC tournament. They will take on Midland Thursday at noon. This year's tournament is being played in Mitchell, South Dakota. This is a double elimination tournament, so Midland plays Hastings, and then we'll play either Northwestern or Mount Marty in the second game. There's still a makeup game on the softball side. Hastings knows they're in, but they don't know for sure their seed or opponent yet. The Smith Complex and Hastings will host the GPAC Softball Championships, which will be coming up on Thursday starting at 2 o'clock. Loper Men's Golf, they're on to the NCAA Regionals, which is in Eureka, Missouri, home of Missouri St. Louis at Fox Run Golf Club. Starts May the 5th, and the Loper tennis teams both finished 3rd at the MIAA, so it looks like they're heading on to the Regionals. Nebraska Volleyball swept Creighton in the fundraiser they had up at Wayne State College, and Hastings College Tennis, their men undefeated, so they get ready for the conference tournament this weekend. Hastings Golf competing today up in Yankton, South Dakota. But before we go into break, we were there Saturday. We talked about it a lot last week, especially Thursday and Friday. The Bosselman and Liedemann Ken, they brought him in from Kentucky, and he basically blew this field away, 8-9 length winner. Your thoughts on what you saw Saturday, Jimmy?
Well, we talked about it, and you know, there were some closers coming at Fonder that day. They were running second. The speed was somewhat holding, but they were going to go out in those fractions. I mean, I didn't think they were going to send Diamond Joe to the front and expect him to try to hold off, you know. And that's what happened. And immediately into the first turn, I thought, boy, I said, you know, this is the ticket right now. This is what you want. And you knew the one and the two weren't going to hang on. I mean, anybody that knows anything about horse racing, when they go out that fast and you get a speed duel on front, it sets it up for all the closers to come. I was kind of surprised that they held on and didn't run 6th and 7th.
Well, we said that there was two ways that this race was going to play out, is that those two go to the front and lead them in. Ken didn't know how to run the small course. They call it the bull ring. I think a lot of people heard that referred to by the tracksters last week. That just means a 5/8 mile track, as small of horse track as there is in the country, with a lot of turns and not a lot of straightaways and lengthy straightaways where you can kind of tuck in behind a horse. But the key was, would Liedemann Ken, would Joy Boy be able to go wire to wire? We didn't think so. Would Liedemann Ken be able to run the race track at Fonner Park, regardless of how good a horse he was? And the answer was yes. So that didn't allow a long shot to come in and take this. And, I think Diamond Joe, I think a lot of people thought that he would just kind of tuck in behind Joy Boy and then hopefully be able to save a little something for the final turnaround here. But you could tell when they went into the backstretch that Liedemann Ken was the horse, because when they got to the far turn, he just turned it on. And, you know, the 3 horse, which came in second in this race, Midnight Papa, who I said, you know, if this race plays out, could be there, and it finishes in second, and didn't have Unsettled Glory finishing in third. But that's just kind of a constant horse right now. It always kind of seems to run the same race. Doesn't win all the time, but it kind of seems to run the same race. And so they come from the outside and take the Bosselman on Saturday.
Yeah.
Great crowd on hand again.
Yeah, nice crowd. A lot of gasoline given away. I wish you and I could have been winners of that.
I didn't hear your name.
I didn't see yours.
Yeah, they didn't post it.
Yep.
So that's what's going on there. And then, of course, this week it is the Kentucky Derby, and the final weekend of racing at Fonter. We'll be talking about the Kentucky Derby throughout the week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So stay with us as we get towards the end of the week to preview that. We'll take a break here, and from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, we'll return to talk a little Central Nebraska Track Championships with David Gee, Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island Soccer, and more. Stay with us.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it.
I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours, too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Behind every great coach is a great and ever-evolving, game-changing playbook. That's why at Buffalo Wild Wings, we've created the B-Dub Sauce Lab. Here, we're hard at work concocting, crafting, and innovating brand-new mouth-watering flavors, from sweet to sizzling to downright scorching. Each sauce will be released one by one throughout the year, and they'll be anything but predictable, like any great playbook. Visit BuffaloWildWings.com/SauceLab to find out which limited-time sauce is in store now, because they won't be here forever.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
We're giving away a free passenger sidecar mirror.
Yay.
And also the brand new 2014 Corvette Stingray that it's attached to. That's right. To celebrate over 20 years of Mobil 1 synthetic motor oil under the hood of Corvettes, we're giving one away. Objects in mirror are more awesome when you're in a Corvette. Enter for a chance to win at any Advance Auto Parts, AutoZone, O'Reilly Auto Parts, or Pep Boys. No purchase necessary. Certain restrictions apply. See participating retailers for details.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
A wind advisory in effect through late tonight. For today, a few showers moving through, highs near 58, northwest winds 20 to 35. Tonight, scattered showers, temperatures fall to 39.
Right now, 41.
It's the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this program, the Doug and Danny Show for a Monday. Doug, due to Jim Langan, as we are in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, with everyday low hassle-free prices and over 500 vehicles on their lot, new or pre-owned. This is the time to take a look at what they have, and you can also see all the deals and all the great inventory online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Thinkmidway.com, open 6 days a week for you and open 24/7 online, also South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, as we chuckled a little bit at the top of the show, if the weather's not perfect, that means it's the Central Nebraska Track Championships going on at Grand Island Northwest. David Gee is the head coach, co-head coach, I guess we should say now, of the Vikings, and that's where the event is slated to take place if the weather doesn't turn on us here. And Coach joins us, Doug Duda and Jim Langan on today's show. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, we're doing great. How are you?
Well, a little chilly, but we'll live.
Well, the kids probably don't mind running in a little non-warm weather, but, man, they always have to fight, and everybody that puts together has to fight with this. But it is what it is, and as always, the best of the area will be there from the Grand Island Independent. And before we jump into that, let me start by what the Vikings are doing on the track so far this year. I see your name at the top of the leaderboard quite a bit, Dave. What do you think about the team so far?
Well, our girls team is having an outstanding season this spring. But these are the same girls, you know, that were state champions in basketball and volleyball and great softball. So they're just great athletes, and they're carrying that over with a little bit of attitude in track season this spring, and they've been very, very competitive. So we're really excited about where we're at and where we're headed for the rest of the season with our girls. Our boys are down a little bit. You know, that hasn't happened to us a lot over the last 35 years I've been associated here, but we're down a little bit, but we got young kids and they're working hard, and we got a couple seniors that are competing very well. We got a kid named Travis Sleep that is leading the Class B in the triple jump. So we have some athletes, but our girls are our story.
Well, Dave, talk about what's still coming up for you. I mean, it's hard to believe that conference and districts are right around the corner.
Well, we get through this meet, and then we go out to Holdridge, which we always look forward to because we get to see a couple teams we don't see very often. We'll run against North Platte and McCook, and you know, that's an opportunity for us to see the Shagrew girl from McCook, who's an outstanding athlete, and kind of gives us a measuring stick again as far as how strong our girls' team is. Again, you know, it's just we see Cozad during the season, and their boys' team seems to be the, in my estimation, probably the team to beat in Class B. So we've seen a lot of good athletes and a lot of great teams.
Well, let me ask you about a couple of those girls. I mean, Erin Sorhan is kind of doing a great job everywhere. She's going nice distance runner again in Megan Billington, and those are just a couple of the girls.
Well, Erin came out of a basketball state tournament with a little bit of a sore knee, got banged up a little bit, and so we didn't jump right into the season with her. We brought her along kind of slow, but at our invite the other day, she went 17-8 or something like that in the long jump, and we're leading Class B in the 4x1, and she's leading Class B in the 100. So right now, she's having a great season, and Megan Billington just keeps getting better and better. We feel like she's probably the girl to beat in Class B in the 3200, and the 16 is just going to be tremendously competitive, but we feel like she'll be right in the mix with some other great runners across the state.
Hey, Jim Langen here, Coach. You know your 400-meter relay team is really good. Have you got another relay that you really think has got a chance to score at the state track meet?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. Our 4x4 and our 4x8 are both going to be very competitive. We feel like we'll probably run about 4:02, 4:03 with our 4x4, and maybe 9:40 with our 3200 relay. So we feel like, you know, third, fourth place points out of both those teams of state are a very good possibility.
Yeah, you run 4:02, and you might get second or third. You know, yeah, I don't know who's going to win it, but yeah, 4:02's moving.
Well, you know, like I said, you look at the 1600 across the state. You know, Megan Billington could run 5:10 and maybe run fourth or fifth of state. You know, it's just the girls' side is very competitive this spring in some events. And the other thing that's happened this spring compared to last year, we've had really nice weather for training and meets, so the kids are much further ahead this year than maybe the last couple of years. So by the time the state meet rolls around, you're going to see some very, very nice marks if it's a nice day.
Dave Gee, Grand Island Northwest head coach. Last question, then we'll get into the Central Nebraska Track Championship, which get underway today. Who your team could be in the mix down in Omaha? Who are some of the other Class B girls teams that are at the top this year?
Well, I'd mentioned them earlier. McCook is going to be in the hunt simply because the Shagrew girl is their horse, and she's just very, very competitive. And then they have a lot of good athletes on their team, not just her. You know, they got some great pole vaulters. That, you know, they have a lot of athletes who are going to get those third, fourth, and fifth at state. And, you know, I think we'll be in the hunt, but they're going to be very, very good. And then I feel like Holdridge is another team that's, you know, they've got the Burr girl and the sprints and the hurdles. And Syracuse with Harson girl is very good. You know, just Class B is going to be very competitive with about the top six or seven teams. Gothenburg with the Reeves girl, you know, just there's some outstanding athletes in Class B this year.
Well, Dave, let's talk about the outstanding athletes that will be there for the Central Nebraska Track Championship sponsored by the Independent today. Right away, when you look at the entries, give me the one or two events that you would love to watch today.
Well, first of all, you got in the boys' side, you got Zach Britton from Grand Island Central Catholic. Zach's leading the whole state in both the shot and the discus, you know, and every time I've seen him compete, he brings his A game and always wants to do a great job. So he's one that would be fun to watch. you know, obviously every year there's events that stand out and some not quite so good just because of the way it rolls around. But I feel like the 8-16-32 in the boys' side will be very competitive races. There's Warren Dexter and Hans Epp from Nebraska Christian, Andrew Fields from Ward, Lane Tibbs from Kennesaw. Those kids are all outstanding runners, and they see each other during the season and love to compete against each other. And I think we'll see some, again, weather permitting, we'll see some really nice marks out of those guys. And on the girls' side, you know, again, there's a young lady from Palmer, Velasic, that's a really nice shot putter and discus thrower. You know, our girls in Sorahan and our other girl, Ashley Shear, are both doing a nice job in the sprints and the long jump. But there's always other people that step up and compete against them. The Lil Sheehy from St. Cecilia is a great runner, you know, and she'll be in the mix in the sprints. And we'd already mentioned Megan Billington. She is the favorite in both 16 and 32. And after that, you know, the 16, you have a young lady from Aurora that's a BART girl that's very good. You know, it's just, in fact, here a while back, I told Megan, you know, you got to keep working because right now you're setting number four in the mile in the conference, not just in the state, but in the conference. So, you know, she took that kind of personally and has been working very hard, but it's just loaded everywhere, and there's going to be some great races this afternoon.
You know, in the field events, in Class D and Class C, there's a couple girls that have gone over 5.5, I believe, this year.
There's two girls, and I forgot to mention that. Yeah, that's a good point. There's two girls in the high jump, Lindsay Siegel from Angela Litchfield, and then Alexis Dale from Ravenna, who have both been 5.6.
Okay, 5.6.
Outstanding jumpers, and they should probably really, you know, get a great competition going. And then there's a gal from Donovan Trumbull Heinrichs that's also gone 5.3. So that could become a very, very nice competition before the day's over.
Hey, Coach, just real quick, I have a question for you. And is Superior, are they in the area close enough, or would they not be there?
They will not
okay.
be there. And I know what you're getting at. The Meyer girl
yeah.
is an outstanding thrower.
Yeah, right.
You know, and what the independent does is they take the teams that are in their, what they consider their coverage area. And when we first started this meet, I think there was about 60 schools. Now through consolidation and stuff, we're down to about 35 schools that are eligible to participate. You know, and we've talked about expanding out to a larger reach, and that's the independence call. But, you know, there's a lot of schools, a lot of great athletes that are not involved with this, but we take the ones we have, we put them on the track, and it's always competitive, and it's a great show to come out and watch.
And, Dave, you kind of also take us into our next question here. There's not a lot of Class A and B right there in the area outside of you and Aurora. This is a mainly C and D meet, which gives the C and D kids a chance to go up against the bigger schools and try to prove something. But I know your kids don't want to get beat by the C and D kids either.
Well, it's not so much, you know, we don't emphasize, you know, the getting beat by the C and D schools and Broken Bow in this meet and Central City. And, you know, So you have some, Adam Central has been involved in the past, so you have some B schools, but we just look at that as an opportunity to compete against good athletes, and we feel like any time, and the C and D schools feel the same way, anytime you can go on the track or in a field event and compete against somebody good, you're going to get better, which prepares you for your district, for your state. For most of these small schools, this is by far the toughest meet they see other than the state meet. Now, with the Class B schools, obviously we see great competition, but we don't shy away from this and or avoid it because we feel like it's going to make our kids better. So our kids always look forward to this every year also.
And Dave, there's always special awards. We've got the Outstanding Male and Outstanding Female. There's also a couple of special awards that are handed out over the number of years that this has been going on. But this year there will be a new award. Bill Dunn passed away this past year, and the Contributor Award will be named after him. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, we've had these Contributor and Coach of the Year awards since, I think, 2003 is when we started it. So there's been a lot of great individuals that have been recognized, and we just felt like Bill was one of these people that, as I think of the Central Nebraska Track and Field Championships, Bill Dunn comes to mind. You know, he was the driving force that got the paper involved with this when John Farrett and I first introduced this program or this meet. And, you know, Bill was at every meet. He'd hand out the medals, and you'd see him on the street, you know, how's the season looking? And I can't wait to come out to the meet. And, you know, I just look forward to every year. So we felt this was very, very fitting that we would name this contributor award after Bill. We've done that with some other events, and we just felt like that was the right thing to do with Bill.
And it will go to his family tonight, and it will be another great evening of competition. Gets underway at 4 o'clock with field events, and it should be some good track today at Grand Island Northwest. Dave, we'll let you get back to work. I know it's a busy day for you, so appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. It's always nice to be able to talk with you guys, and you do a great job with your show, so thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much for the kind words. Same to you. David Gee, a longtime outstanding coach. There's so many of them in the area, and he's just right there helping put on the Central Nebraska Track Championships. And again, the Independent can tell you who's in their coverage area. I know it comes all the way, it comes to Gibbon West, and then, you know, Kennesaw's in there, goes all the way to Broken Bow, the old Loup County, Taylor, so Sargent and Burwell and those teams kind of oared up to the north, and as far as getting to the east, they don't quite get to York, Central City, Aurora, about the cutoff line over in that area. So the entries are in the paper this weekend. You can go online and see theindependent.com for more information. But boy, if you like great track, it's a wets your whistle a little bit before district. It's better than districts because these are the best of the best. I mean, as Coach said, you're rarely going to see competition like this at conference or districts. Basically, it's this and state.
Yeah, right. This is a great idea. It gets an opportunity where some people that would never run against each other get that opportunity to run, you know, against each other. Because, you know, basically Holdridge and Grand Island Northwest and Hastings and are going to go to a track meet. And, you know, I mean, and they're going to be with schools their size, you know. But every once in a while, like you say, you have an athlete that's really good in the distances and might be in Class D or C. And there might be a really good one in Class B, but they never really go head-to-head. So this gives them an opportunity to go head-to-head and compete one time.
And we've got an opportunity to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And when we come back, we will talk with the head boys soccer coach at Grand Island Senior High. It's kind of a third city type of day, but we'll catch up with Jeremy Jensen. And we've got a lot more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stay with us.
Hi, it's Colin. Good communication is crucial, of course, for any business, especially when the people you work with aren't in the same office. Happens all the time. Got to stay connected. Got to meet with coworkers, clients. Doesn't matter where they're at. Most times these days, you're not in the same room. That's why millions of small business pros rely on GoToMeeting by Citrix. You should too. A proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. With GoToMeeting, you can share the same screen, you can review documents, presentations in real time, makes it easier for everybody to stay on the same page. It's got built-in HD video conferencing. You just need a webcam to see each other face-to-face. GoToMeeting allows you to present, demonstrate, and just simply meet from anywhere with any Mac, PC, tablet, or smartphone. We use GoToMeeting for the show. Lifesaver. See why millions choose GoToMeeting. Start hosting today face-to-face online. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Colin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advisory in effect through late tonight. For today, a few showers moving through, highs near 58, northwest winds 20 to 35. Tonight, scattered showers, temperatures fall to 39.
Right now, 41.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Well, Mother Nature and the good Lord doesn't always bring you the rain like we need when the crops are in the field. So when that's the case, T&L Irrigation is there for you, taking care of every state in the Union, over 60 countries worldwide. From their headquarters in Hastings, they've been doing it since the 1950s, and they're only around because their customers are satisfied with their product. You see a lot of T&L pivot systems in the field, and now T&L has PPC3, allowing you to control speed, direction, end gun, and the auto stop locations with GPS right from your home. Combined with their continuously moving hydrostatic power design, the PPC will give you the assurance of uniform water application, improved crop production, and effective irrigation system management. For more information about the Precision Point Control 3 system or any of the other pivot control management systems, contact your local T&L dealer today or go to TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. Well, Grand Island is getting ready to play some more soccer tonight. It is the last week here of the regular season as we jump into districts. It just seems to be flying along with the Islander boys, Jimmy. After a slow start with games on the road, they have got red hot. They've won seven of their last eight, including a couple of rival wins for these guys.
Yeah, I was surprised when I looked at the soccer in Class A. How many teams are 7-5, 6-5, 8-5, 5-6. I mean, it is really more so. I mean, it used to be there was a lot of 11-1s and 10-2s, and then there was a gap, you know. But right now, boy, there's a lot of competitive teams all right in that area, and they are one of them.
Well, let's talk with the head coach of the Islanders, Jeremy Jensen. They are 9-4, started 2-2, or 2-3, actually, if I got that right. Yeah, 2-3, and they're 7-1 since. And, coach, way to get things turned around. Would you say they turned around, or is that the way the competition laid out for you?
You know, it was probably a little bit of both things, guys. I mean, we started off the year, we knew we were going to have a very young team to begin with. We graduated 10 guys from last year's team that the majority of those guys played pretty significant roles on our team, and so we knew we were going to be young to begin with. Then, unfortunately, over spring break, we had some guys that made some poor decisions, and so we accelerated the learning curve with some younger guys early in the season, and we've got everybody back now. We're back at full strength, and I think, you know, taking a look back on it, it's just made us a better team now going forward.
Talk about some of the roles that had to kind of accelerate here. You know, is it goaltending? Is it midfield? Is it defense? Where did you guys pick your game up?
To be honest with you, it was pretty much all the way across the board. The first five games we played, we had, I think there were a total of six freshmen that played pretty significant minutes for us at the varsity level, including the goalkeeper spots, including defensive spots, as well as the attacking spots. So if you look all the way across the board, we had a lot of baptism by fire for some young kids early on. And, you know, some of the growing pains were to be expected, but, you know, I think it also provided them with some very valuable experience. And like I said, now going forward, I think we're a deeper team because of that.
You have always found a way to get a guy. You've scored a lot of goals. You're a team that seems lately that can score goals, and Jose is leading your team right now. Talk about the goal scoring and if it's starting to become a little more diversified during this winning streak.
Yeah, we've got we actually completely changed our tactics and our formation as we were going through the season, trying to figure out where everybody's niche was. I guess I've got a coaching philosophy that I don't try to necessarily get the kids to improve on what they don't do well. I try to figure out what they do well and just try to accentuate that. And, you know, we've got our system, I think, set right now where we've got three guys that are playing up across the top that if I'm coaching against them, they'd just scare the bejesus out of me. They've got all kinds of speed. They've got all kinds of finishing ability. It's just been a matter of chemistry. And Jose Haro, Willie Ortiz, and Chewy Martinez are the three guys. And we're starting to figure out how to play together, those three guys. And when they do, you know, you see results like we had Friday. We played against a very good Lincoln North Star team, and our guys up front just gave them fits. And so I'm hoping that that continues here as we continue towards the end of the season.
Yeah, Coach, I noticed you won that game 5-0, and all your other scores have really been pretty much just a goal. I mean, you know, I mean, unless you've played somebody that was like 1-15 or something like that. In fact, Lincoln Southeast, I noticed that you had two wins over them, and one was in overtime and one was in a shootout. You know, those games probably could have gone either way. So you've had some you've won some close games this year. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been from the standpoint of, you know, just the mental or the physical part of the game for the young kids, the mental part of it has really been taxing as well, because, you know, when you're young and inexperienced, you've got a long tradition that you're trying to carry forward. You got a lot of alumni watching. So the mental part of the game, playing under that pressure, has been really tough. And so, you know, Friday night, we knew that that was a game that we really had to have, because when you're looking at the PowerPoints and the district seedings and stuff, we knew that we really needed to come out and play well on Friday, and the guys really responded. And I just couldn't have been more happy with how they performed on Friday night. And I hope it wasn't an aberration. I hope it's more along the lines of what's yet to come for them.
Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island Boys soccer coach, with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Pretty big game tonight when it comes to, you know, regular season conference, and maybe, as you touched on, the wild card points, because you're set in sixth, and obviously if you can hold on, you get to bring some teams in for district. But Lincoln Southwest on the road, 11-1, a very, very good team, and we'll talk about this matchup.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a good test for us. You know, we're looking at it from the standpoint of if we went out, we're going to probably end up about third in the points, and we definitely want to play at home. And the points are important not only for districts but also for state seeding. And, you know, we want to get as high on that totem pole as we can. And so if you rewind back to the point where we were 2-3, and we're really searching for our identity, and to think that we've got everything laid out in front of us for us to control our own destiny and finish up the year, you know, as the number, you know, three, possibly the two seed, we're pretty excited about that. And so, you know, tonight's going to be a great challenge for us. You know, I hope that, like I said, the momentum from Friday really carries over. Lincoln Southwest is absolutely going to be a team that's going to test us in about every way imaginable. So, you know, I think we're going to have our work cut out for us, no doubt.
Jeremy, talk, and the ironic thing is here, normally this would have been a rematch, but Southwest's only loss, they were knocked off by Southeast in the semifinals of the conference tournament, and then you guys went on and beat Southeast. But take me to the Creighton Prep game. That's the only game you guys have been beaten in your last eight outings, and it's 1-0, and they're number one in the state. That had to kind of almost change the psyche of this team.
Yeah, I would say the psyche of this team really changed the first game of the conference tournament against Lincoln North Star. We were down 3-1 at halftime, and quite honestly, I had a rather colorful conversation with the guys at halftime, and we came out and ended up, you know, winning that game 4-3, and I think that set the stage. Now, going fast forward then to the Creighton Prep game, they're obviously one of the top programs around, have been for a very long time, and that game was very well played from both teams' aspects. If there's any such thing as a good loss, I think that would qualify as one. We had our opportunities to win the game. The goal that they scored, it was a mental mistake that is something that's definitely fixable from our standpoint. And it was just really good for our young kids to get to go to Omaha, play against a team like that, because
quite frankly, we expect to be there at the end at Morrison again. And, you know, if we get matched up with a team like that, you know, we've got something to kind of benchmark preparation on. And, you know, I think that as we get going forward here into the season, if we continue to get better, we're going to, you know, put ourselves in a position where we're going to be playing right there at the end again. So prep is definitely a program that you always look forward to. And, you know, they're, as advertised, they're fantastic. But, you know, if we play them again, I'm not going to bet against us. So I'm excited to hopefully get that opportunity.
And, Jeremy, last question, because it's a little unique here. Obviously, you're not in the hallways every day as far as teaching with your job, but you've also got something else going on here in just a few days. So you're being pulled in a lot of different directions. Has that changed the way that time has went with the team this year, or have you had to lean on assistance anymore with your aspirations here in a couple of days?
I don't have any idea what you're talking about. What do you mean? Something else. You know, not really. I mean, we've developed our program to where my assistants play a big role in everything that we do already. And fortunately, between the way we coach, my professional career, and the hopefulness of becoming Grand Island's next mayor, I think I've got the game plan, if you will, put into place to handle that. And I know my guys are excited about it. We try to keep it as separated as we can because I want the focus, you know, for the boys to remain on playing at Morrison Stadium there that last night of the season. But it's been fun. It's definitely challenging too. But, you know, when all said and done, I talk to the guys all the time on my team about being leaders and stepping to the front of the line when your number's called. And, you know, I just kind of felt like the position that and the decision that I made to run for mayor kind of highlighted that I'm doing the same thing, and I hope that they will as well when they get older. So it's been fun. It's obviously a unique situation, but, you know, I think we're in pretty good hands.
Well, I'd write you in over here, but I don't think it would count. So, Jeremy, hey, we always appreciate the time. Best of luck at Southwest tonight, the home finale against Fremont, then into the district. So with the soccer and with all the other things that are going on with you, best of luck in all of that, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. You know, I really appreciate it. And, you know, I think tonight, for the first time in a long time, there's a bunch of Kearney Bearcats that are Grand Island fans, so I'm excited about that as well.
they could use some help. Right. Hey, Jeremy, thanks, man. Take care.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Jeremy Jensen, head coach. Again, we've talked about it for quite a while, Jimmy. The Grand, you alluded to it, how there used to be a lot of 12-1, 10-0 type of soccer teams, and these are your powers in the Metro and maybe one in Lincoln. Well, we've been talking about it for years on this show, how the rest of the state has caught up. They've caught up. Grand Island and Kearney, you know, they used to struggle. They might get to state, but they couldn't win a game because they just hadn't developed, hadn't had the youth programs, hadn't, you know, and now things are established just with a lot of sports. And, boy, what a turnaround here for the Islanders after 2-3, winning 7 of their last 8, the only loss, a 1-0 loss to the number one team in the state. So the Islanders are dangerous right now.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, he alluded to something that they might have had a couple players that were missing due to some off the field activities. He didn't really say that, so I don't know for sure what happened. But I do know that they right after they without those two wins over Southeast, and both of them, those games were into overtime and shootout. You know that they get a lot of power points. So that's something. So sometimes you look at your record. And you're going, oh, look at it. Hey, we're 9-4, but man, if we'd have won that one and that one and that one, we could be 10-1. That's not the case with Grand Island this year. This year, they're 9-4, and they're kind of lucky to be 9-4, but they've got a lot better. So, you know, they've got better in the season. So maybe that Craig Pregman, I don't know how that went, because sometimes in soccer, you can get beat 1-0, and it wasn't maybe that close. You didn't have many shots at goal. You maybe didn't come close to scoring, and Creighton Prep was playing defense the whole game. So I wasn't at the game and really don't know for sure how close that game was.
I got to get you out more.
The soccer, yeah, that really, yeah.
Get you out there more.
I watch a lot of those games, you know, in the summertime, and they'll have those 0-0 ties. In 90 minutes, you know, and then plus we got an extra 4 minutes extra. And then after that's over, Then later that night, you can watch the replay.
Of a scoreless tie. I'm with you on that. Also, not only does Grand Island play today, Kearney Catholic has a soccer matchup at Holdridge in this final week of the season. One other high school note here, Jimmy, in basketball, we've had him on the show numerous times. Eric Barron stepping down at Omaha Central because he has taken the job at Peru State. That is a high school coach going to a college, and I don't know enough about Peru State. They are not a dominant power right now. I mean, this is a program that has won national championships despite Todd Gotula being on the team. They did win national championships, but Omaha Central will be looking for a new coach, and it almost kind of tells me that this might be the end of the Central run. I mean, because he's moving. It's not like he's a grad assistant at Nebraska or he's going to a small NAIA school. And let's face it, Omaha Central to Peru State, outside of it being college, it seems to me it's almost a lateral move, as good as Central was to where Peru State is.
Yeah, I would say in Peru State, I mean, it's been a while since you've looked at them as a national power. I mean, they were really good in the 1970s and 60s, I believe, you know, but it's been a while. Let's be honest about that. This move shocked many people that know a lot about basketball. This was a big shocker that this took place. And what's really amazing to me about this, Doug, when you talk about Omaha Central, with the new way that people can option and make decisions and say, I can opt to this school and go to that school, there were players that in Omaha, more so than in any other area in the state, that were opting and going over to different schools. You could be starting at Papillion South, and next thing you know, he transferred over to Omaha Central. I mean, more so than even in colleges. More so than colleges were doing this. That, you know, all of a sudden you go, hey, that guy started there and he's making this move. Or how do you think Westside will be? Well, I thought they were going to be pretty good, but these two kids left to go to, you know, well, Omaha Central, with him leaving, I would think that some of the players that maybe were maybe thinking about opting to Omaha Central may not go to Omaha Central now. I mean, the head coach isn't there, so and I don't know enough about it. Maybe that's not completely true. I'm way back in Kearney, Nebraska, making these comments, but it does seem to me that this happens more so in the Omaha area, where in football there are a lot of teams that are either 7-2. 8-1, 6-3, and then there's the bottom end of the schools that are 0-9 and 1-8, and these games aren't even close. And it is a lot of it's because kids are opting to go to different schools. And I think, you know, that's what the NSA did not want to have happen, but that's what's going on.
No doubt about it, and we will see. They've commented maybe they'll even have an interim coach, because this is quick timing. Same thing happened at Papillion with their football coach. Usually you got these spots filled in by now, but you would think that would be a job a lot of people might want at Omaha Central. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and be back after this.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Keep your car running better, longer at CarQuest Auto Parts. Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner in the 5 1/4 ounce bottle is just $4.99. Pennzoil Conventional Motor Oil is just $4.29 per quart. Or upgrade to Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $5.79 per quart. Now through May 31st at participating CarQuest locations. Great people, great products, great prices. CarQuest Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS.
As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
A wind advisory in effect through late tonight. For today, a few showers moving through, highs near 58, northwest winds 20 to 35. Tonight, scattered showers, temperatures fall to 39.
Right now, 41.
Fast tractors, bail liners, and a party barge strung together like a floating trailer park, anchored out and getting loud all summer long. Side to side, there's five houseboat front porches, AstroTurf lawn chairs and tiki torches, regular Joes rocking the boat, that's us, the Redneck Yacht Club.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We were just talking about soccer. Unfortunately, Lexington's boys have had to forfeit their team, forfeit their wins because they used an ineligible player. They were 11-4, so now they're 0-15. And this is something else the NSAA has to address, Jimmy. This happened to, was it Millard North?
In football.
In football, yeah. Where they had to forfeit three games. Well, the only people that's hurting is the team they have to play in the playoffs.
In the first round.
Yeah, because Lexington, they're not an 0-15 team. You cannot put them into their district with a 0.00 wild card average and have them take on the number one team. That is totally unfair to the other team. Now, maybe it would cost a home game or something like that if we get those new rules established for Class B, Class A hosting districts. But unfortunate situation that Lexington gets penalized for, I guess, having a kid. You know, who knows why it was, but usually it's a paperwork deal. But now instead of being 11-4 and a state-rated team, they're going to be 0-15, and it'll be interesting when the rankings come out from the Lincoln and Omaha papers later this week. Will they keep them rated?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, you know, for forfeits, but it's usually because somebody, maybe an option student or something, wasn't living in the correct place, the domicile or something like that. It's usually not an age situation. An age, anybody that's over the age of 19 by August 1 would be ineligible, and if they would have caught that, unless they had some, you know, something else. But they would control their own educational situation, which they needed to pass 20 semester hours the previous semester, which would be, you know, the first mm-hmm. semester of this year, and to go on and or you could have a student that maybe had been in school for more than the 4 years, you know what I mean, not passing classes, and actually didn't meet the age requirement, but had already had an opportunity to play 8 semesters. So I don't know which one it was or what took place, but that's beyond the point. But your point is well taken, is the fact that you've got a team that, and no matter how good this player was, you know, Lexington was going to win more games than zero.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden they're not going to let this player, they had to forfeit every one of these games. Absolutely amazing, you know, because now instead of being the one seed getting to play the winner of a 4-5, and you know, now they're going to be playing the one seed. You know, they'll be the 4-5 playing, and then turn around and play in the one seed. And so then district, you know, you'll end up having possibly the semifinal game being the most important game of the whole ball of wax. Yeah.
Well, our radio buddy Jason Jorgensen reporting that the school discovered that one of its reserves was too old to be participating. So
it was the age then, yeah.
They're second in wild card points, Jimmy. So now they will be taken out of getting a wild card and have to win districts. But let's say they do win districts. Mm-hmm. They're the second best team in the state. They'll play the first best team in the state in the first round because they'll have the eighth best wild card or the lowest wild card points now, when actually they could be the second best team.
Right.
So all of a sudden, if you're the number one team in B, you're going, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. So,
well, yeah. What's interesting about that is I'm not 100% sure just on this, but when it was the age, I guarantee you, any time he stepped on the field during that varsity game, they use an ineligible player. So if he didn't step on the field, they wouldn't have to forfeit that game. So he must have been a reserve player that played in every one of those games. At least played a second, you know. Because that game that he played,
my varsity career.
That's too bad that they missed that and that wasn't caught. But by the age requirement, which is interesting about this, because when you set all that stuff in, you set that in by computer, and you do that in August. I mean, that is set in computer, and it immediately comes up orange or a different color with the age. It'll catch it for you. You know what I mean? If you put that date in. So evidently, maybe they didn't have the correct dates put in there, and which would be too bad. Yeah,
there could be all kinds of different things going on. Yeah, soccer's now got sub-state, too.
Yes.
So that... they did that with volleyball last year, and now they're doing it with soccer sub-state. So it will cost them the chance to host a postseason game, which will be important. And now they could end up playing the number one team and leaving the number one team probably not out of state because they'd be a wild. It's interesting. We'll keep an eye on this is what we'll do. Time for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We talked about 500 home runs on Friday being kind of used to be an automatic Hall of Fame benchmark. Albert Pujols hit his 500th home run last week. So we asked you, is 500 home runs still a big deal? 57% it said it is a little. 36% said it is a lot, and only 7% said no, because, as you said, Jimmy, it used to be downright automatic. 500 was the number. Like, if you hit 300 as an average, you're in. 500 stolen, you know, every statistical category seemed to have a number, like 300 wins as a pitcher.
Yeah, you know, and what's kind of interesting about that is I think once somebody gets to that plateau, somebody does that, and somebody actually gets to that, whatever that plateau is, it's not as big a deal over a period of time. And we weren't around when Roger Bannister, you know, broke the 4-minute mile. But at that was such a huge deal. I mean, people, that was a really major thing, was when Roger Bannister broke that 4-minute mile. Well, now, how many guys run under 4 minutes now? Nobody in Nebraska state high school history has ran under a 4-minute mile, you know, or really even close to it. But we never, it's not on the news if somebody breaks 4 minutes. It's not a big deal.
I think,
you know,
Colby Whistle still has the record, right?
Well,
for Nebraska?
Did he run 4:09 or something like that? At one time it was 4:15 and 4:15.1.
Might have been 4:05.
It was Kearney. The meet was at Kearney State, and it was
where?
At Kearney State College.
Where? Never heard of it.
I never did. But it was a race. It was a guy ran 4:15 flat, and the other guy ran 4:15.1. Lynn Hall and Speck, I think it was. It was a heck of a match race. You'd have liked it if you'd have been there. I was.
Our Midtown Mark cooler question today. What do you make of the Southeastern Conference, the good old SEC, keeping its 8-game conference schedule, and now they've mandated a non-conference game against a, quote, power conference school or a BCS conference? Is that good for college football or bad for college football?
Definitely good. Definitely good. Play the BCS school. We talked about that on the show the other day. You need to go out and you need to try to play somebody.
Yeah, Alabama.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well,
Florida.
They play nobody. Yeah, you need to go out there. Nebraska's playing Miami of Florida. I will say that. You know, the other day we were talking about Nebraska, and we said, hey, Nebraska's the team that really didn't give that other team that opportunity, you know, to they'd say, hey, you know what, like a Washington's going to go, okay, we're going to play at Boise State. This looks like a trap game to me, but you know what, hey, we're going to go over to Boise State, and it's an away game. And the next thing you know, Washington, who's ranked number 7 in the nation, is beat. I think Oregon went down there and got beat. There's some games. But Nebraska every year tries to play somebody that's really good in the nation. I mean, whether it was USC.
This year it's Fresno State. This is going to be the first one. And I mean, we talked about all that and didn't really even bring up Fresno State. This is going to be the first one. We went all the way back to the early 70s when they played Army, a true road game.
That's a good point. And, Doug, not only that, you know, Nebraska over the years, if you think about it, when they schedule those games, they played Notre Dame home and away. They're trying to – when they scheduled Miami of Florida, I guarantee you Miami of Florida was not thinking, hell, this would be a cupcake win.
I think when we scheduled Miami had almost kind of hit their bottom. kind of their downswing.
Yeah.
I'd have to look when this was, but that's been 6 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe when we scheduled
but we're
them.
But we're trying to schedule people. Virginia Tech, you know, I mean, those people, when you play Virginia Tech, when you Nebraska has always tried to schedule at least one game mm-hmm. in their non-conference that would be an enjoyable, big-time atmosphere game. Now, I'm not saying
that it's good for recruiting.
Yeah, and let's be honest about it. We've always played two, a couple of the Middle Tennessee states and gone out of our way to make sure, hey, this one's going to be a win. And
well, there are more cupcakes than they used to be.
Yes, they were. Yes.
It still amazes me when you look back at the teams Nebraska played in the non-conference when they were in the Big Eight. They weren't good. I mean, but they were named schools. South Carolina wasn't good at the time. Oregon State wasn't good. Just go through and through, you know, and see, wow. I mean, even Utah, who was undefeated here a couple of times with Urban Meyer. I mean, we played, you know, them and Arizona State, teams that weren't necessarily good, they were named schools.
Yeah, and played Minnesota a lot, played Indiana, played a lot of the Big Ten schools. That usually had one Big Ten school,
Penn
Iowa.
State,
you know, but always had one Big Ten school on the schedule.
That's our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. The Nebraska record, Colby has it at 410.4 is the fastest he ran the mile.
How close was I to that? I'll have to go back and run the replay.
About a second. Okay. You were closer than me. One more for Jimmy. One more for Jimmy. Did we hit everything today? I think we hit everything. Is that possible? Did we hit everything? Just want to let the folks know that it's that time of the year when the weather would hopefully be getting nice enough to get out in the garden. I know some folks were trying to do that over the weekend with the weather. Maybe this rain will help get your grass a little bit greener. But if you've not taken the time to stop into Johnson Lawn's new nursery in Kearney, you need to do that. Get there today and get all the plants, trees, rocks, and flowers you need to make your garden and landscape and projects a breeze. They're open inside Johnson Lawn and Landscape every Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 9 to 4. So if your garden and landscaping are not becoming, then you need to be coming to Johnson Lawn Landscape and Nursery beside Yellow Van in Kearney. Anything else before we run on out of here today, Jimmy?
No, I enjoyed the show. Really enjoyed talking to a couple of coaches and appreciated what Grand Island Northwest with the track meet, having that, running that for these Class C and D schools. I was in AD and coached in C and also coached in Class D. And I know how important it is for our athletes that they have that one opportunity to do that. And it's a lot of work to put that on. A track meet is not, you know, you've got all these entries and you're trying to get all this and you got to get all the help. And there's a lot of people that run track meets, you know, and I just wanted to thank them for doing that and continue to do that because it really does give those schools that one opportunity to go out and compete at a fun level. And it's not like the other track meets aren't, you know, that they're going to. They're going, but they do have, you get to compete that one time, and it's a fun atmosphere for the Class C and D schools to get to do that.
Got a tweet here right at the end of the show. Says, the SEC needs to play 9 games. Alabama goes to the swamp as it is, like once every 12 years. Play 9 and another BCS team. Hashtag SEC sucks. So you'd be asking a lot, though, to take it to a 9th game and mandate a BCS school.
I think so too, Doug. I really,
from what, you got to get the other school to agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No kidding.
But I mean, who are you looking at? I mean, all of a sudden, okay, if that was the case, I'm going to write down the names of teams that the SEC, if I'm the athletic director at Alabama, Florida, a team, and yeah, Florida had a bad year, an SEC team, LSU, that's in for a national championship every year. Okay?
Georgia type teams, yeah, Arkansas even.
You're
yeah.
making me play 9 games. I've got 3 other games, so I get 2 podunks, and now I got to play now you're making me play a BCS school. So I pick up the phone, and I'm calling Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana's phone's going to be ringing
Purdue,
off the wall.
I'm calling Northwestern. I'm calling Colorado. I'm calling Cal. Those are Pac-12, Big Ten. You go to the Big 12. I'm calling TCU right now.
Kansas will get a few calls.
Yeah, oh, God. Kansas would definitely be getting their phone would be ringing off the hook. That's a great point. Kansas, obviously. You know, you'd be going into the 8th. You know, I'd be calling Wake Forest. I'd be calling Duke. Even though Duke's a little bit better.
You can go out of the Wake Forest.
It's not like you're going to get Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio State, USC, UCLA on your schedule. Yep. Those aren't the ones you're going to be looking at. So it'd be just like getting Podunk U on your schedule.
Well, hey, can you imagine how many calls Oregon gets? Hey, Oregon.
Not many.
Not many
at all. Well, tomorrow, Daryl Morse, the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, will be with us in studio to talk about their fifth annual Loper Football Backers fundraising banquet and also put a wrap on spring sports season, their spring practices. They've had some movement, some transfers. We'll talk about what the team looks like going into summer and a lot more on the banquet. We'll also be talking a little bit about UNK baseball as they get ready for the MIAA tournament and Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We want to thank our guest today, Dave Gee, the head coach of the Northwest track team and also helping run the Central Nebraska track championships today at Northwest High School beginning at 4. Also to Jeremy Jensen, Grand Island soccer coach. Jimmy, we'll see you on Friday. I'm going to give you an extra day off this week.
Hey, thanks.
We'll see you
then. Later. Bye-bye.
Folks, have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.